Blog Talk Radio.
The 2014 FIFA World Cup Review Show. Hello again, everybody. What an exciting day this has been. Wow. What an unbelievable day of World Cup action again. And you have to say that the desperate team, or maybe the most probably complete team, deserved to go ahead. And that was Mexico against Croatia. Joining us right now is John Jagu, who covers the Mexican national team on Big Soccer. John, I have to ask you this. Have you taken your dancing break of joy, and have you drank your Gatorade or your sangria?
It would be tequila, and yes, yes, and yes. The game kind of played out the way I thought it would, Daniel, to be honest with you. I figured if Mexico could withstand Croatia, because who, in my opinion, obviously were the more desperate team because, well, they're the ones that needed the win. If they could just withstand them, then the heat and humidity was going to take their toll, as it has on every European team that's been in the tournament. And if they could just open that oyster, the goals were going to come fast and furious, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, they just systematically put Croatia away in a 10-minute span, scored three goals. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better way to end it. And then, unfortunately, Mexico gave up that goal at the end, but by that point, it didn't matter. I mean, we were... when it was 3-0, we're like, holy shit, we were saying, oh,
that's
we could get one more goal and lead the group. But then Brazil scored, and then Croatia scored, and that was that. But, just a terrific game. I'm still puzzled, Daniel, to the Croatian press conference yesterday, where both the coach and Kovac and Luka Modric both said, we're the better team. We're going to show Mexico we're the better team tomorrow. And I'm sitting thinking, do they not pay attention to how Mexico plays and how their coach is? Obviously, they didn't, because I mean, this was nothing more than just a huge motivator for for a team that already has a huge chip on their shoulder, and a coach who's made his living coaching and playing with a huge chip on his shoulder. I mean, that was exactly what they... I mean, I couldn't... When I heard that yesterday, I knew that Mexico was going to win, because there was just no way that they were going to let Croatia beat them. And sure enough, that's exactly how it played out. It was pretty stunning. I was not expecting the Croatians to do that, but to give Mexico added motivation, especially when all Mexico had to do was tie the... just leave with a draw.
John, I think
a huge win for Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely huge, a very huge win for Mexico going to the second round. I was going to say, John, is that I think this is the fault of Kovac, because they live in their own fishbowl and they think that their team is better than anyone else's outside of Europe or outside of their country, and they don't know what goes on in CONCACAF. They don't know what goes on in South America. I mean, they hear about things, but I think they don't really pay that close of an attention to it, because they're more concerned about their own team and their own players, and let's be honest, he got what he deserved.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember a few months ago they were interviewing Luka Modric after a Real Madrid game, and it came up. And he said, well, I only know Rafa Márquez and Javier Hernández. Those are the only Mexican players I know. I'm like, okay, dude, whatever. And, I think that what people don't understand is there are, I think Liga MX is either the sixth or seventh most represented league at this tournament.
Yes.
Which is pretty good. I mean, it's not just Mexicans. There's a couple of Americans that play Liga MX, a couple of Ecuadorians, Colombians, Chileans. Mm-hmm. I mean, Liga MX is a good league, and it's only gotten better. I mean, CONCACAF, has evidenced by how well the teams have been playing, save Honduras, which honestly, I think that they're just making tactical errors. I think that they're at that same level too, but for whatever reason, they just have this mentality that they're not. And it just doesn't make any sense to me, because you and I have both seen Honduras just take it to teams. Yes. You know, when they play with nothing to lose, and for some reason at this World Cup they've just been being unbelievably timid, and it's like, guys, you guys are so much better than that. Somebody just
exactly.
has to convince them, like the coach at Costa Rica convinced their players, hey, you know what, we're good, and these guys are good, but we're good too. So let's, you know, win or lose, let's just show them what we got, and you know, maybe we'll come out with a win. And that's exactly what Mexico did today. I mean,
absolutely.
It was a great team win.
It was. And joining us now is Kartik Krishnar from World Soccer Talk. And Kartik, Mexico, as John Jagu just mentioned, Mexico just an unbelievable game today, and they finally got their goals, and they're moving on to face a very tough Netherlands team.
Yeah, a little bit unfortunate that they didn't have those goals in the first match, which were wrongly chalked off, might have been a different result in the group. I'm not sure how the Brazil game finished. Maybe it wouldn't have been. I'm not sure.
It ended 4-1.
So that would have given Mexico enough? I'm not sure. Maybe Brazil still would have won the group. But whatever the case, I think you see just the difference with how Mexico has played under Miguel Herrera compared to the previous three managers. Now, keep in mind, the beginning of the Chepo de la Torre era was very good for Mexico, and we saw these sorts of performances, maybe not with this kind of enthusiasm and energy, but we saw really good performances, and then it all went bad. It all went bad in qualifying. It actually didn't go bad. There were no signs before that opening qualifier against Jamaica at Azteca that things were going to go off the rails in 2013. They did, but now Mexico is back at their natural level is what I would say. I don't think that they're punching above their weight at all in this tournament.
No, absolutely not, John. I mean, you have to admit that whatever Miguel Herrera has done for Mexico, for these players, both that were, players he brought over from Club America, the old guard, I mean, they look a lot better. They look a lot happier. There's more confidence. Herrera has done a big 180 here, maybe even a big 360. You don't know. But at least he's made these players for Mexico be proud of how they're playing, why they're playing, and look at and just the results just seem to be right there for Mexico.
Yeah, well, the players have talked about it themselves over the past few weeks that the coach is letting them play. He's giving them a lot more freedom and flexibility, and you know, which probably to me means that when they're in the classroom and watching the videos, I think that that's probably where the players' input is actually taken into consideration. I think that one of the big problems with Chepo, and even when Mexico did start off very successful with him, was the fact that he had his system and it was going to be his way, and you couldn't deviate from that. Period. End of story. We were going to play this way. And I think that ended up shackling a lot of the players because, I mean, for whatever reason, and I mean, especially at the Azteca, I mean, Mexico played so unbelievably conservatively. It was just not their style at all. So, much like we discussed, I think that what Miguel Herrera has done is that he's brought Mexico back to a style that they're comfortable with, and given the confidence is such a big thing. I mean, and I got to tell you, if I were Holland, with Javier scoring today, that's big. You could see how important it was to him. The dude was crying after he scored. I mean, you couldn't ask for a bigger hole. For Mexico fans, you couldn't ask for a guy to score a bigger goal than Javier. So I agree. I mean, but again, I just go back to that press conference yesterday. I'm thinking, what are you doing? I mean, I was sitting there listening to it. I was like, are these guys serious? Do they have any idea who they're playing? I mean, obviously they didn't because, and then they asked Miguel about it. Because I think what they were trying to do, obviously, they were trying to get into their heads. And Miguel said, you can talk a lot up here at the press conferences, but we're just going to do our talking on the field tomorrow. And, boom, it was a very short answer and done. And so that's, now Mexico advances to our customary round of 16. Hopefully we won't have the exit this time, but, the fact, we're there, I think that, a year ago at this time, if people said, hey, we're going to, make it to the round of 16, a year ago people said, well, good luck with that. I mean, even before the tournament, I think a lot of folks were saying, show up and play and see what happens, but it's likely going to be three games and out for Mexico. But it's not the case at all, and Mexico ended up getting the goals and when they needed them, and they're through, and it's now we get to play Holland and Fortaleza on Sunday. Hopefully it'll be nice and hot again, and we'll who knows what could happen. You know, if maybe somebody will realize that Robin goes to his left, and, they might actually be able to block that.
Scouting report from John Jagu here from Mexico.
He goes to his left. He favors the left foot.
Wow. Scouting report from John Jagu, and hopefully Mexico will get a hold of it. Kardec, of course, that goal for Javier Hernandez, we've seen him many times, especially you would say maybe a bad year, not playing at all when Moyes was managing Manchester United, looking frustrated on the bench for Manchester United, and that goal he scored to make it 3-0 for Mexico, Kardec, that must have been a big weight lifted off his shoulders.
Oh, you could just see it in the way he reacted, how pleased Chicharito was to finish that goal. It was a great finish, classic finish. He needed that for his confidence. He had another poor season at Manchester United, the situation with David Moyes. We saw Nani also got an important goal yesterday for Portugal, similar situation. So I think it was important that we see how Chicharito responded to all the adversity, all the calls for him not to play on this team coming from writers, not from Mexican fans. This is important. El Tri's fans have been very anxious, have been behind him to see him break out of what was an 11-game scoreless drought, I believe, goalless drought, the longest in his national team career. Maybe it was 10 or 11. And we saw the trouble he had beginning in the Confederations Cup last year and then going through those latter qualifiers when Mexico really struggled. The game in Costa Rica was a national embarrassment, obviously, the game down in San Jose. But Mexico was able to sneak in because of Graham Soucy's late goal. So I believe that he now has a lot of confidence, sharing John's scouting report, Robin likes to start on the right and cut to the left. And once the ball gets on his left foot, look out. The whole Bundesliga knows this. All of Europe knows this. Everybody who's played against Holland knows this. Everybody who's played against Bayern knows this. Unfortunately, the Mexican national team is going to have to learn it in the next few days.
Yeah, they're really going to have to. John, Vasquez got his, I believe, as I understood it, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me, Vasquez picked up a yellow card in this match. This was his second in the group stage. Is he suspended for the round of 16 matchup?
Yeah, he is. He picked up one against Brazil, and he got one today. Man, I got to tell you, I love that little guy. He is just he's ferocious. Obviously, it's going to be, Mexico doesn't really have another guy that they can plug in there, so it's going to be interesting to see what Piojo does as far as who he puts in, because there's no true defensive midfielder outside of Vasquez on the roster, so it's going to be interesting to see who ends up taking that spot. I have a feeling it's going to be Guardado, which will allow either Fabian or Peña to come in and play. I think Guardado has had a fantastic turn, and I was so happy for him that he was able to get the goal today. I mean, it was his third World Cup, and he was just – the way that he was moving around today was just impressive. I'm really, really happy for the guy. Vasquez, a little bulldog, unfortunately, is going to be out. Just one of those things. I'm not really sure why they have to wait till the quarterfinals before they clear cards. I would understand if they were going to do that. Maybe they need to go to a third card like they do in the Champions League. I think that would make a little bit more sense, especially after five games. I think two cards in the first round, I understand. I think that's fine. And then the cards would get wiped. But I think for having to go all the way to the quarterfinals is pretty tough for all teams, not just for all the participants. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be let's see what Piojo does in Vasquez's stead, because I think he's had a for a guy who literally played zero international soccer before, you know, at least official matches before this tournament, I think he's turned in a really impressive performance. I mean, and he's so tiny. I was watching the national anthem today. I was like, that is a small dude. But you know what? I mean, he's got a huge heart. I think that's part of the reason why he's been so effective.
Absolutely. And strangely enough, Kardec, Rafa Marquez, the old dog, the old gunslinger, how he's been able to have his national team career resurrected by Herrera. And look what happens. He scores that first goal off the corner, heads it in. I mean, many felt that you know, his national team career was done. You know, the way he played for the Red Bulls and MLS before he head over to Lyon, and of course going into the CONCACAF Champions League this August. Rafa Marquez looking really, really strong in this World Cup here for Mexico.
Right. In fact, when he was recalled to the national team, I think the general sense was that it was a bit of a joke and a lunge at desperation. And I'm trying to remember if he, John might know better. Was he recalled for those last couple games under Chepo, or was it after Chepo was sacked?
It was after Chepo. It didn't happen. Right. Actually, I want to say he was even, you know, I don't even think, well, no, Vucetich did call him. I think he may have been the first one. And, at that time, no one stepped up in a leadership capacity, you know, as far as the players. Rafa, who had actually, obviously resurrected his career quite a bit at Leon, with Leon having the success that they had over the past full season, winning both the first and the second tournaments. You know, Rafa was a big part of that. And then back in January, I think it was, Miguel Herrera said, there's only one player on my list of 23 right now, and it's Rafa Marquez, and he's the captain. So I think that sent a message to him that obviously that Bioko had, you know, his full faith and confidence in him. And I think that, obviously it's something that worked out. And the other guy who I think has been tremendous, he has his shaky moments here and there, but Masa Rodriguez, who everyone was just like, my God, why is this guy still playing, has had a really, I mean, obviously Mexico's only allowed one goal in three games. So, But Rafa resurrecting his career in Leon, I think, was a huge, huge lift for Mexico. I think it solidified their defense. I think Moreno is the other defender, has had a fantastic World Cup. I think that he is going to be on the move somewhere. I think he plays for Espanyol right now in Barcelona. That's not going to last long. They're going to make some money selling him pretty soon. Hector Herrera in the midfield has been, really been the revelation for Mexico this tournament. He's been fantastic. Just a great guy, great player. Porto has done a great job with his development. I'm not sure if they're going to let him go just yet, because is there a better team in the world that knows what they're doing in the transfer market than Porto? I mean, they are just unbelievable. They find people from all over the world, buy them cheap, and just make a ton of money in the transfer market, and it looks like they're probably going to get to do that same thing with Herrera. I don't know if it'll be this year, but definitely by next year for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Let's ask this question. Obviously, outside of Robin, this Dutch team is really on fire. Van Persie was suspended for their final group stage game against the Chileans, but he'll be in the lineup with you. And Mexico, not really you. You're not playing, even though technically you will be.
Hey, suit me up. But, I'll play. I'll go out there.
But still, the Dutch do pose problems outside of Robin. What does Herrera need to do to prevent them from doing anything to get them into the quarterfinals?
Well, obviously Mexico is going to have to play a perfect game to beat Holland. The way that Holland dismantled Spain, and Australia gave them some fits, so that was encouraging. I may want to look at that and see what was going on. I think that this is why I love Mexico playing against teams that like Hart said. In this case, I would consider them punching above their weight playing Holland. Croatia obviously completely underestimated Mexico, and I think that always. That plays into as much Mexico's hands as it does into the U.S.'s hands. I think that's why they both do real well at the World Cup, because no one, they think, oh, CONCACAF, they might as well be Cambodia. They're just a team that we're just going to walk over. And, if Holland underestimates Mexico, I don't think they will, because they've played before, and you know, they have some of a somewhat of a similarity, then look out. But again, I mean, obviously Mexico's going to have to play a perfect game. There's just nothing that they're going to be able to do at half speed. They're going to have to do every decision is going to have to be the right decision. It's going to be a tough game. I mean, obviously right now I think Holland are going to probably be considered heavy favorites to win that, as they should be. They've been one of the, you know, the tournament's super strong teams so far. So what Mexico has to do is just they're going to have to score more goals than Holland, and hopefully that'll happen when the ref blows the whistle in the second half. That's about the best way I can break it down.
And the best, and not the best, but the other thing is this, is that if there are some players on this roster from Guadalajara for Chivas, as you know, they've adapted the Dutch system as well. So some of those players, if there are players from Guadalajara on this national team for Mexico, John, that could be a big test for them too. As you've said to me many, many times, they've had many Dutch, former Dutch players be either the head coach or in the front office of Guadalajara.
Yeah, but oddly enough, Daniel, the Dutch have kind of taken a page from Mexico, and they've played a 5-3-2, which is the same formation that Herrera uses, and it's the same formation that a lot of folks that are like Ricardo La Volpe disciples have used. So I think this might be a first. I mean, of course, you know, I've really been paying attention to formations just for about the past couple of World Cups, but I think this might be a first for Mexico, especially if they play a 5-3-2, that they're going to play up against another team that has the same formation, because it's obviously not a very common formation, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, I mean, good Lord. I mean, you know, for Mexico to even be in the round of 16, I think is just a huge accomplishment. That was a tough group. I know the Cameroon kind of fell apart there, but, you know, and in that first game, Cameroon gave Mexico a hell of a game. Obviously, tying Brazil at home was a huge accomplishment, but it wouldn't have mattered at all if Mexico didn't get the result today, which they got today.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
And now, you know, a team that was playing with house money in the tournament just hit a huge blackjack. and now they're going to press their bet and see how far they can go.
Yeah, and then they're going to move to the 3-card poker table. John,
hey, whatever it
thank
takes.
You so much. Whatever it takes. John, thank you so much for joining me. I know you're happy. Go ahead, rest up. You really need it. Have another shot of tequila on me, and enjoy the rest of your day, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night tonight.
Yes, it will.
Thanks, Daniel.
Enjoy yourself.
Thanks, Carter. Bye-bye.
No problem at all. John Jagu covers Mexico,
bye,
their national team, for big soccer, as well as Liga MX, and still with me is Carter Krishnire. You know, Carter, let's be honest. Brazil, we knew that they were going to do their business. We knew Brazil was going to go out there and put a clinic out against Cameroon, and Cameroon just did not look like, well, let's be honest here. They didn't look like the Lions, Cameroon. They looked like the Kittens. They showed nothing. I mean, outside of maybe the good first half against Mexico in the first group stage game, they looked terrible.
There's only one group. Well, I guess they could be one kitten. They're the Indomitable Lions, right? The Kittens are the three little kittens of England. Okay?
I'm
just getting a travel shack. They're the ones with the cats that go meow, meow, meow. the three
absolutely.
Little kids.
Yeah, the three
anyway,
little kids.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Cameroon has crashed out of another World Cup once again. Very undisciplined side. More intrigue and scandal around the team. And this is a recurring thing. Now, this was an interesting group. This is the group of Brazil, who didn't have to qualify. Obviously, it's the host nation. And then three countries, probably the three weakest qualifiers for this World Cup. Cameroon, who would not have qualified if Togo hadn't fielded an ineligible player and been thrown out of African qualifying, or dock points, excuse me. Mexico,
right.
Who we know qualified because the U.S. scored two late goals in Panama City, to put that through. And Croatia,
yep.
Who had a horrible qualifying campaign, and luckily drew Iceland in the playoff instead of drawing Ukraine or somebody who would beat them. Or Romania, Greece, Romania, Ukraine, France. Those were two classics. Or Sweden, right? They drew Iceland,
right.
And they struggled with Iceland. So this was a weak group based on qualification. And Cameroon was the weakest of the week. They didn't get a point. They didn't compete in any of the games.
Nope.
The referee kept them in the game against Mexico for a while, but they weren't really competitive in
yep.
that match.
Not,
really embarrassed World Cup. And it's a shame because this is a World Cup where the African countries have performed better than they have in the past. Last World Cup, now we remember Ghana getting to the quarterfinals. Ghana really struggled at the group stage. The other African countries didn't do well, even though it was an African World Cup. This World Cup, we got Nigeria on 4 points. We have Algeria playing very well. They're on 3 points. They could, you know, they could have taken something against Belgium. So Algeria playing well, Ghana playing well in spite of being on 1 point. I would say Ghana's actually played better in this World Cup than they did in the group stage last time, even though they haven't gotten the results. And there's somebody, Cote d'Ivoire won a game in this World Cup, which they haven't done in the previous few World Cups. So I think they won their final group game in six when they were already eliminated. So the African countries are doing well, but Cameroon continued to bring up the rear with Africa.
Yeah, and that's a shame because Africa usually has good, strong athletic sides. Maybe once in a while tactics are wrong, but they're still strong. They're still game. You know, they're ready to go. They have their game, and just for some reason, either they're going to do well or they're going to do extremely poor. But the one thing I really am not happy about with Cameroon is this. Once again, and you've mentioned it already, rumors around that the Cameroonian FA was not going to give them their bonuses. They once again worry about the money that's supposed to be coming to them, and it's not going to them. And now there's a problem of things behind the scenes that is just absolutely terrible. I mean, I understand money makes the world go round. I understand you want to feel comfortable earning your money and playing hard for your national team, but you cannot go out and just basically outside of the first half, actually outside of the Mexico game, Cameroon has really disappointed. And Alex Song, as we've already mentioned yesterday, has gotten a 3-match suspension, which included this game today against Brazil. Alex Song is going to be suspended for 2 more internationals with Cameroon. And that the way he took out Mandzukic from behind, like, I don't know, like he was holding a sword or a knife or an axe, how he chopped him down from behind just to stop a counter. That was just an absolute disgrace of an act by Alex Song.
A cowardly act from a player, as I mentioned yesterday on this same show, that has a reputation for being a reckless player. He likes to get stuck in, as the Brits say, when he plays.
Yeah, he really does.
He's a very, very talented player. He had a lot of assists when he was at Arsenal, played well within the system, but was overly aggressive, a shameful tackle, and so he'll be suspended for 2 more games, which will be qualification for the Cup of African Nations, which Cameroon will want to qualify
for. Yeah, they really do. They really need to qualify for that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's such a shame how this has gone down, but it hasn't gone well, and I mean, you look at the other African countries, they've moved well beyond Cameroon. Cameroon was the original strong African nation. I think what we're going to see going forward is what happens with this federation, given everything that has taken place in the last couple months, and see how if they continue to be in any way a strong force in African football, because they performed very poorly in continental competitions now for a long time. We remember them when he goes back to that Cup of African Nations, 2000 and 2002, and Senegal, they beat Senegal in penalties in the last one. And Senegal went on and had a great World Cup. Cameroon did not, and it's been downhill since then. I think they got to a final if they lost to Egypt, if I remember, 1 year. But other than that, they haven't done well in a couple of African nations. They haven't done well in general in other when they get to the World Cup, if they qualify, which they qualify more often than not, but they don't perform well, then they have these struggles. And this seems to be a recurring theme with them.
It really, really does, Kartik. So we already have 2 matches already set for the second round. We're going to have the Dutch against the Mexicans, and then we're going to have a South American matchup, between Brazil and Chile, and we have a couple more days left before everything gets filled in. But I'm telling you right now, Kartik, I feel like this has been the best World Cup right now.
Yeah, I agree.
It's
fantastic.
Yeah, it has been fantastic. It's just been an absolute wonderful thing. So, Kartik, We'll talk to you tomorrow. Guess who's joining us at the same time? Gary Richards and Diana Germano.
Yeah, well, it could be a real difficult one for both of them. I mean, we'll see what happens to Italy or Uruguay. But for England, it'll be terrible.
Yes, we already know about that. All right, Kartik, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. See you at 2. And for Kartik Krishnire and John Jagu, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Group A review for the FIFA World Cup 2014 in Brazil is finished. Get ready, everyone, for another exciting two-show action-packed days again tomorrow. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Enjoy your football. Bye-bye for now.